You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by the good folks at Liberty Ford. Respect the past, represent the future with new gear from the Cleveland Browns Pro Shop. Shop the large selection of all new jerseys, t-shirts, jackets, sweatshirts, hats, and more. Stop by the Pro Shop at First Energy Stadium, open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily. That's Monday through Sunday, or shop now on shop.clevelandbrowns.com or on the Browns mobile app. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here. Hour number two, 216-578-0850. Some good stuff there, I thought, from Paul Kruger about this defense. And you like to hear him side, you know, point somebody out. How about Justin Gilbert?
Yeah.
That's great to hear
him. A guy
him.
In question immediately got an answer from somebody else. And he wasn't coached to say that. He could have said anybody.
He could have said anybody.
Know? And I think it's a testament to the professionalism that I continue to talk about. The way in which you practice, the way in which you prepare. And I didn't want to interject and interrupt him. And I just go, dude, it's about being a pro. You know, it's great being the eighth overall pick, but the expectations that you have by the organization that drafted you and the other 52 men in that room is significantly high. You need to produce. And up to this point, it looks like he's taken the disappointment of his rookie year and he's put it behind him through the hard work of being in shape, of learning. And after one day to have a leader, you know, on the defense, throw your name out. Is a great place to be in.
It's a good thing. It's positive. Makes you happy to hear that. 216-578-0850. Also, he talked a lot about the motion, the window dressing, as
told
you like to call it.
It sucks.
Yeah, defenses don't like that.
No,
so I'm glad that
no.
The Browns are doing it.
You want them to line up just so you can take the thinking out of it and see ball, go get ball.
See ball, get ball. 216-578-0850. We've got Bud in Chesterland. What's up, Bud?
Hear me all right?
Yeah, what's up, Bud?
I want to talk about Reggie Miller.
Go ahead, Bud.
Well, I thought he was, put it bluntly, he was way over the top and an instigator in terms of criticizing Ladova. In fact, what he's done has gone a long way towards marking him as a dirty player.
Exactly.
And you know, my expectation is that the Deli's going to get hurt in the very near future. He's going to get rolled, to get dirty play on him, and Reggie's got, in part, he's got responsibility for that. I would actually encourage people to contact the TNT and say, hey, you know, you're way off base, and you have to be a little more responsive in terms of your comments, because just not justified. Absolutely not.
All right, appreciate the call on Deli Daily here, driven by Liberty Ford.
Sorry to interrupt Deli Daily with a little bit of Paul Kruger. We'll get back to the topic. Yeah.
Yes. Ewing. But anyway, good to hear that about Justin Gilbert. And as Mark Bishop points out on Twitter, Axe Grinder Mark says, if it's true about Gilbert, it'd be like getting three first-round picks this year. I think that's pretty true.
It is. Well, and if Manziel gets things straight, you know, you got to figure it's a fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way in which I approached Manziel was if last year was his preseason. That whole season was his preseason. And in some cases, you can say the same for Justin Gilbert. It was one hell of a learning experience for both. The ups and downs of being a pro, what's expected of you as a teammate, as a professional, and more so your accountability to that franchise that drafted you as high as they did. You just can't collect that significant paycheck and enjoy the notoriety of being a first-round pick for so long. And even just in reference, you know, A.J. Jenkins, who just got signed by the Cowboys, you know, former first-round pick by the 49ers. They kicked the tires on him, traded him to Kansas City. He still hasn't performed and lived up to that first-round billing. But
he signed with somebody,
by the Cowboys. But he's getting another shot. That's the point and the reference that I continually make about a first-round pick. If that was a fourth-round pick, they'd be bagging groceries, flipping burgers, selling cars. But because you're a first-round pick, they were scouted as a first-round talent and drafted that way for a reason. You have to give them the chance to shine.
When you think about OTAs, let's say that you started, you know, with OTAs. How important are these? What do they mean? What would you be hoping to get out of them as a player and as a team?
As a team, you want to get 80% of your offensive and defensive game plan installed in OTAs.
Okay.
So that there is as minimal amount of fine-tuning to that those offensive and defensive plays in training camp, because all you want to do is you want to replicate and duplicate with pads on at a faster tempo with collisions. And that way, if you have 80 and you say you bump that up to 90%, you'll never have all of it in. You never really will. And some of it's just not relevant to this team because of personnel, because of the age of some of the players. They're just not ready for it yet. But at that point, if you have 90 in, say, through the first week of camp, you want to be able to whittle that back, and 70% of that is going to be your wheelhouse. That's what you're going to carry in, you know, on the road against the New York Jets. Because and in some cases, the great thing about it is last year you carried 50. So this year you're carrying 70. So you have so much more. You know, you have, if they take care of your one, you go to two, or your A, you go to B. If they, you know, then now we're going C, D, and F, or C, D, and E. You know what I mean? I was going grades, just so it's not Ohio State education. So you go deeper into that playbook, and you now, as other teams that have more experience, that have a head coach that has been there a while, you know, they've seen all these scenarios. You know, they know how to combat a team that plays aggressive defense or man press. We're not going to be caught off guard by anything. We're going to be ready for it, and we're going to have an answer for all that.
When teams do 11-on-11s and OTAs, there's a set number of plays. It's scripted out. Does the defense, do you know what the offense is running?
Sometimes yes, sometimes no.
Okay.
What we call, if we don't know what they're running, and they're running, it can, like, there's a beater for every coverage. There's a cover two beater. That's the guy up the middle, the seam. You know, there's a cover three beater. That's the big voids in the zone, the big digs, or the comebacks that you know quarterbacks always throw when they see cover three. There's a quarters beater. And that's why I would hope that at some point through these OTAs, the offense, that means Jim O'Neill, John DeFilippo, sit together and they script it together. So John DeFilippo tells Jim O'Neill, I want these coverage versus these plays because these guys need a boost. And all it is completion, completion, completion. We used to call it, as defenders, you script for success. Okay. You know, you're throwing the cover three beater, just so happened that we're in cover three. But if you're in man press, you know, you got to throw that ball into a tight window. You know, if we're in cover two, that guy's going to get his, you know what, knocked off. But they're going to work together, but then there's going to be days where the defense is going to need to see, I need to see all five wide. I need to see all empty sets. You know, I need to see, we used to call it explosion. Line up in tight, like you're going to run the ball and you explode out into five wide. There's going to be days where you're going to need to see that as a defense, just so that you're ready for training camp to be able to react. And as Kruger talked about day one, how they communicated versus a different trade, a different motion, a reload, a five wide. You're expecting them to line up close and they line up wide. What do? Do you panic? Do you figure it out? And that's in some cases what you want to see out of your guys. But that's the best thing about it, and what these OTAs are really about, is the teaching. The thing that I loved most was going out and doing it, coming back in and watching it. And tomorrow, you don't want to see the same mistake be made. Because if that same mistake is made over and over again by that player, by that defense gets scrapped. That player, over the course of time, might get a chance in camp if he can back it up with his pads, but he's going to be on the streets too. Too many mistakes.
And so they go through these 11-on-11 sessions. One will be first down plays. So that's both offense and defense. You have your typical first down plays. Then you'll do some third down work. You'll do some, you know, then there are days where you specialize in red zone, goal line,
etc. Some you might even just go, run the field.
Yep.
First, second,
move
down.
The ball.
You know, first, second, third down. You know, so you're going to run, you're calling, Jim O'Neill's calling. In some cases, the defense will not have anything script. The offense most likely will always have everything script so that Johnny and Josh and those guys can understand, you know, the content of those 15 or 30 plays, whatever it is, and they're ready for it. Because you don't want to give them, you know, 150 plays. And that'll just evolve as we get sooner. But the defense, Jim O'Neill wants the ability to call a game on the fly as if it's a football game. You know, what personnel grouping are they going to give me? Where are we at on the field? What's the down and distance? Boom. And, you know, it's that chess game. The more you can reenact that in practice,
the better it is.
At a fast tempo, with confidence, the better you'll be on Sundays, you know, in the football season.
And that's what the goal is here with the OTAs. How important are they for team bonding? How important are they for, like, the team coming together? Can you help or hurt your season in OTAs, taking injuries out of it? Because obviously that's a way to hurt your season.
They help. They're big bonding. And more so than anything, as I've said, you know, time and time again, with the additions of the free agents, which was a significant class, with the additions of the draft, the 12 guys, we'll say the 10 that are actively participating, that's a significant number of guys. It's proving time. These guys are all walking in. They most likely have been accepted socially in the locker room because for the free agents because of what they've done and who they are in their career up to this point. But the rookies, they have to prove that they can make it. You know, they have to prove socially in the locker room that they're cool to be accepted, so that veterans will share information with them, that a veteran will reach down his hand to help you. You know, as opposed to as you heard Paul Kruger say, Nate Orchard for all intents and purposes could take his job.
Sure.
You know, and be the reason why he signs somewhere else and has to move his family and so on and so forth and negate his all those things. So you have to walk a fine line, but the teams that embrace those rookies, and once they prove that they've got it, they have that it factor, you embrace him as a part of this football team and you nurture him because you're going to rely on him at some point, you know, September through December.
That's what it is all about, getting these guys ready to go here in these OTAs. Now, when I watch the OTAs, and I'll watch the tape of the practice later today, I always like to focus in on, say, the 11-on-11s. I like to watch actual football being played. When you're in your room, though, how important are the one-on-ones? How important are the 7-on-7s?
Oh, they're huge.
So that is in actual evaluation in terms of who's going to play and how people feel that you practice, those components are every bit as important
more coaching,
as the 11-on-11?
Yes, more coaching goes on in the one-on-ones, the 9-on-7 and the 7-on-7, than they do the 11-on-11. Because the 11-on-11 sometimes can be just a big mishmash. You know what I mean? Especially for a team so young. With guys that don't know how to practice at a high level and execute, you know, brand new situations, meaning new defensive plays, new offensive plays.
Okay.
And as you heard Paul Kruger said, it was a little sloppy out there. You know, some false starts, some encroachment, you know, bad snaps, all those things hinder your growth as a team. But as I've said many times, this is winning your one-on-one matchup. That's all this is about. So as you grow, the reason why you focus in on one-on-one, you know, wide receiver versus corner, it's all about hand placement, eye control, footwork, your hips. You know, and that coach gives you a minute and a half of his undivided attention on you in that rep, and you do that until everybody gets their turn, and that's what this is about right now. And you fix it. You want to see it fixed tomorrow in practice, fine-tuned by Friday, and then you want that problem to go away. If I've coached you three times on the same problem, you know, that's going to be that negative mark that we're talking about. But in 7-on-7, I walked out there. I watched it again from the library before I went out for practice. And the one thing I noticed watching some of the younger guys on, we'll call it the JV field, you know, as they were getting reps, a lot of guys are cheating the drill. You're in on 7-on-7. There's no threat of run, is there? No, there's no offensive lineman. Guys are cheating the drill. They're a little bit deeper in their drops. They're immediately going backwards. And what we were taught over the course of time as professionals is pat those feet. Take that one step. Take that delay step that's going to allow you to read, run, pass. But they're cheating the drill because they know it's going to be passed, so they're just immediately getting in their drops.
In a game, you need to be able, you're going to have to do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, exactly. So little things like that allowed me to walk by. You know, Ray Farmer said, your young guy's out here cheating the drill. He's like, I know, I see it. You know, and it's human nature, but it takes a coach showing you on tape what you're doing wrong so that you don't cheat the drill tomorrow because the coaches are getting less out of you and you're actually stunting your growth by cheating the drill in 7-on-7. So that, and again,
Coach will help.
Fixing that in 7-on-7 fixes your read two periods later in team when it is 11-on-11 and there is the threat of run and pass.
What did you like the most? Did you always like team drills the most?
No, I like 7-on-7. I like Skelly. Over the course of my career, I evolved as a cover guy, as a dropper. Because like I said, sometimes the 9-on-7, if you're not the guy that can hit the hardest, you know, it's just, and you can't take him to the ground, you know, you can't tackle, we never tackle to the ground. It's right. Kind of like, it's like a scrum in some cases. It's not as clean as 7-on-7. With 7-on-7, it's like you can see, you know, you can identify where all the receivers are at, the motions by the backs, the motions, the communication is just all very, very clean. And I like that about 7-on-7.
It's fun. It's a passing game drill.
Yeah.
Let it out there. It is. Air it on out. Yeah. All right, when we come back, 216-578-0850, we'll get more phone calls. We'll continue to talk about the OTAs. We've got after further review still to come, and, of course, Mike Pettine's press conference from after practice today, the first practice of the year. It's coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.